Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
It's Nightlight. It's a new week. Post-Mother's Day version of Nightlight. I hope everyone had a great day yesterday, especially the moms. I hope you guys did everything you can to make your mom's day wonderful. And great to have you with me on this Monday night as we kick off a new week here. Got some really fun guests this week, including tonight, Rob Brackenridge, the comedian, a Wisconsin comedian who calls Northeastern Wisconsin home, Northeast Wisconsin. He'll be here at 7:35 in studio. I ran into Rob years ago when we both lived in Los Angeles, but I don't know Rob well. I just know him by reputation, and he's got a great one. So he'll be here. We'll be catching up over the radio and getting to know each other over the radio. That will be fun. We'll play a little bit of Rob's comedy momentarily. And then it is World Cocktail Day, International World Cocktail Day today. And we're going to celebrate cocktails with a bartender who's also an actor, not necessarily in that order. Brian Kelly will be here in hour number two to discuss International World Cocktail. He was a bartender in LA at some pretty swanky places. He was a fixture at a place in Chicago. He's lived in Wisconsin now for years. We have our share of taverns here in Wisconsin as well. So I'm excited to talk to Brian about, I really need to make Brian like kind of a regular, like do a mini series. Cause every time this is the second time he's about to be on the show. He sends me so much stuff to talk about that it's like, I need more than two or three segments. Like he's had a really interesting life. He's had an interesting life as an actor, as well as just a guy tending bar. Now he works here for Civic Media and does great work. So he'll be along in the second hour. We will discuss cocktails. I need to ask him what's in a monkey gland. Conrad, I think I forgot to send this to you. I'm sending it to you right now in the chat. You're not, some of these cocktail names are insane.
A monkey gland.
A monkey gland. And that's, all right. There's another one called a suffering bastard. The Egyptian-born suffering bastard came out of Cairo's Shepherd Hotel in 1942.
Now that looks good.
That looks really good.
Yeah. You know, the monkey gland looks really sweet.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good to me.
Too much. Yeah, I agree. Too sweet.
What about
Field Guide to Cocktails?
Yeah, you just keep going down. All the names just get worse and worse.
Yeah, there's some pretty bad ones. So our question tonight, in honor of International World Cocktail Day, is what's a cocktail you've never ordered but want to? For me, it's a Harvey Wallbanger. I love the name. I'm assuming that's a real guy. Maybe we can ask Brian about that. Guy named Harvey Wallbanger, who has kind of a different name. They ended up naming a famous cocktail after him.
Hmm.
So what's a cocktail you've never ordered but want to? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to know. You can chime in on anything, too, when it comes to cocktails.
You know, I've always wanted to try a Manhattan, but I've never ordered one.
Really?
That's a
big Wisconsin drink too, dude.
I get up there and then my mind just goes to rum. So I get something with rum.
Oh, really? So you like rum?
Oh, yeah. My favorite drink like ever is a mojito.
Wow, nice, dude. You should have been a pirate.
A rum runner.
Yeah, right. Yeah, mojitos are good. Mojitos are great in the summer, and I almost like them even more than margaritas because they're not as sweet. It seems like they're sort of, I don't know, they're like the perfect combination of sweet and salt. That's just my two cents. Let us know what you like to drink. Let us know what you've never ordered, but you've been curious about or want to. I'm really curious because I'm not a connoisseur. I typically like a good scotch or whiskey. So I don't go crazy. About as crazy as I go is like a old fashioned. In terms of ingredients, like there's three or four ingredients there. Love a good martini. This is just like pandering. Here's a drink called a slow, comfortable screw against the wall. I remember that's a very old drink. I remember going to parties and someone would inevitably ask you if you wanted that, and your joke would be, yeah. It's like, but a lot of cocktails are kind of sexual, you know. There's some I don't even know if I can read here. You know?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't want to get like censored or, you know, Rocky Mountain.
What about the duck fart shot?
Sounds really gross.
You know, it's a mix of coffee liqueur, Irish cream, and Canadian whiskey.
That doesn't sound bad until you name it that.
Yeah.
And then it sounds horrible.
That's a very Wisconsin name, I feel like.
Yeah, very earthy. Here's the other one, ass juice. That's a name. The crown jewel of dive bar shots. Yeah, I could see that. This one came out of Las Vegas Double Down Saloon in the 90s, though they now have a second location in NYC's East Village for anyone in the tri-state area who cares to try this concoction. The recipe is kept under lock and key. Really? The ingredients of ass juice are that top secret? Okay. But we do know that vodka is somewhere in the mix. Arguably, the most absurd part about this drink is its pricing. One shot is $4, two shots, $9. I mean, in the East Village, that's not that crazy. So I don't know if they're saying it's like cheap or expensive. Anyway, mine is a Harvey Wallbanger. I'm curious about what's in a Harvey Wallbanger. I mean, I've Googled it, but I'm going to ask Brian about that. One of these days, I'll order a Harvey Wallbanger. When my alcohol fast is over, and it's going to end at some point, that's probably the first drink I'll order is probably a martini. I'll do martini, old fashioned, and then just a glass of really good scotch or Irish whiskey. And then I'll go for the crazy cocktails. I'll order a suffering bastard or some ass juice with a side of fries.
I'd like to see you order that with a straight face.
Can I get a glass of ass juice, please? Neat. That's just silly. What are you naming cocktails that for? Sherry is checking in on the stream. Good evening, Pete from Horicon. Hi, Sherry. Let's start this new week together. Great to have you with us. She says, good evening, Conrad from Horicon. Sherry says a mimosa. That's a great...
Oy.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about Bloody Marys. I do love a good Bloody Mary. When I lived in LA, I loved watching the NFL. It starts at 10 a.m. And there's something about rolling out of bed and having a Bloody Mary an hour later that's pretty cool. If you don't have a lot to do that day. That's just good stuff. So chime in, let us know. As usual, folks, you are welcome to chime in on anything we're talking about tonight. We've got a wide array of topics. We'll be doing, it's comedy and cocktails. Rob Brackenridge will be here at 7:35. Brian Kelly joins us in the second hour to discuss International World Cocktail Day. I am on the fence right now. I don't know what to do. I'm in a quandary. Conrad, you ready for this?
Of course.
What do I do? It's like May. It's May 13th today. Do I put the flannel sheets away or do I keep wearing them, sleeping in them? What? I wear my sheets around the house as well. I pretend I'm a Roman emperor and I wear flannel sheets.
I'm not the type of person to actually put on flannel sheets ever. So,
yeah,
that's totally, if you're cold enough at night, that's totally your call.
But what do you do? Like in the winter, do you use regular sheets? That seems insane.
Okay. This is
so cold.
This is what I use regular sheets.
Yeah.
I have a comforter and then I have another like throw blanket that I like put on my couch. And if I'm that cold, I'll go grab it. Put that one on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of effort. You could just use flannel sheets.
I just don't like the feeling of them. I don't know.
Oh, man. I've used flannel sheets into June because I like the feel of them so much. I've contemplated using my air conditioning so I can keep using flannel sheets. That's how much I would ensconce myself in flannel year-round if it wasn't so weird. So I'll probably stick with them a little longer. Sherry says put them away.
Okay. I agree.
With an exclamation point. She's not even on the fence there. Hey, how can people watch Nightlight on the stream, Conrad?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe and under WGBW. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media's YouTube channel. And then on Twitter or X, WGBW.
Check it out. Let us know.
Give a like.
Give a like if you like. Also, it's great to, I love when people obviously chime in, but it's so easy to text with the app. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app yet, it's very simple. It's very easy to use. You go to shows, find Nightlight. We're on statewide, so you can click on any one of the stations, and there's a little text icon right there. You just let us know what you're thinking. It's so easy. Also, on the text line, that's fine, too. That works just as well. And I'd like to take this moment to say that Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a great little spot right there in East Wash. Check it out if you haven't. I mentioned before, I haven't had a drink in a while. They have craft sodas, which were really good.
Ooh.
So, yeah, you don't think of sodas being craft.
Like root beer and...
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
Love a good craft root beer. I don't even know what craft means. Like, even when they say craft, whoa, it's a craft beer. That sounds interesting.
I have no idea either.
I don't... homemade, I guess, is what it means. But anyway, that... check it out. It's good stuff. And... God, we got a lot to get to. I didn't see any films this weekend. It was Mother's Day. And my mom actually wanted to spend time with me, and so did my wife. That's rare. That's like the planets aligning. So I did not go see Challengers or The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So I don't have much to report in the way of summer box office, but I will pick it up this week. Did you watch anything over the weekend?
I did, but we can come back to that.
Are you telling me to go to a break?
Yes, I am.
All right, coming up next, we're going to hear some comedy by Rob Breckenridge, and I'm going to read your texts. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network. A teardrop starts, and it breaks my heart. When a teardrop falls, I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you feel that blue. One of my favorite songs ever written, Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder. He turned 74 today. I gotta be honest, I thought Stevie Wonder was older than that. He's a kid. 74, that's nothing. I remember listening to that growing up. My friend Billy Amato used to have, they had all these 8-track tapes. They had Stevie Wonder. They had all this stuff. He was the youngest of like 6. I was the oldest of 5, so I had nothing at home. I was totally influenced by those around me. And thank God, because I found that Songs in the Key of Life album. It was so great. Dennis Rodman turns 63 today. I guess I can believe he's that old.
Yeah.
He's lived, for sure.
I think he's lived more than the average person.
Probably. Robert Pattinson, 38. Where do you put him on the Batman list?
You know, honestly, he was pretty good.
He was great.
I'd give him second.
After Christian Bale?
Yeah.
And I got to be honest. In some ways, I liked him better than Christian Bale.
See, for me, Christian Bale is the Batman for me because I grew up watching, you know, his Batman. Yeah. So.
No, I get it. And yeah. He's great. He does a thing with his voice sometimes that's a little bit too much for me. Where is he? He like kind of overdoes it a little bit, whereas Pattinson's like this like hypnotic looking not reclusive, but sort of withdrawn guy. I don't know. Whatever he did in that role worked for me. I like Robert Pattinson as Batman, for sure. But I like Christian Bale, too. So those are the big birthdays today. But it's also B. Arthur's birthday. And we have a funny, funny clip. Let's do some text first. Then we'll play some B. Arthur. And we'll play some Rob Brackenridge, who's here at 7:35. Very excited to have Rob in the studio. And we got, hey, Aunt Carla's back. Conrad, did you see that?
I did, yeah.
We have not heard from Aunt Carla in a while.
She must have been...
Did she go on the lam or something? What happened?
Busy being a flight attendant.
Yeah, I guess so. No signal 35,000 feet above.
Exactly.
Carla checks in from Baraboo. She says, my cocktail to order is the menu or restaurant favorite because coming from Wisconsin, I've tried it all. Plus, Grandma and Aunt Carla say hello. Hello, Grandma and Aunt Carla. Is that your grandma, Conrad?
Yep.
Okay. How old is your grandma?
82, I believe.
82? Okay. Yeah. I'm guessing she can put a cocktail away here and there.
She likes Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Only in
a can, though.
I don't know if... You know, that's more than a cocktail. That's just perfection right there. Thanks for listening, Grandma and Aunt Carla. Aunt Carla, yeah, she seems like the type... Based on her texts, I feel like Aunt Carla probably has ordered... She's left no cocktail unturned. Andrew from Verona says, I've never ordered a Long Island iced tea. Seems too girly and just too many ingredients to be good. Well, Andrew, I'm going to politely disagree with you.
Yeah.
If they're made well, the ingredients are perfect. They are incredibly strong.
They're really good, too.
They are good. They're the perfect. It's like an Arnold Palmer with alcohol, basically, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're delicious. I remember I was dating this girl in college, and she had like four of them within a half hour because it tasted so good. It's like that was what she was using to you know, hydrate herself.
Oh, no.
She passed out. I mean, it was ugly. Lesson learned. And someone told me before I had one, so I never had that. I never had that experience, but they hit you like second.
Oh, yeah.
a third of the way or half of the way through your second one, you're like, okay, I better slow down. But they're good. Andrew, I encourage you to try one. Not while you're driving. Andrew says, Pete, how do you like your martini? Gin, vodka, heavy or light on the vermouth? Like those olives, lemon twist? All of the above, Andrew. And I was late to the party. I came around to martinis kind of late. I like them with vodka. I like a little bit of olive juice. Not total dirt, but some. I love the taste of olives. And I could not tell you if it's heavy or light on the vermouth. I think if there's more vermouth, it's drier, if I'm not mistaken. So I can't really answer that part of it. What about you, Andrew? Let us know how you like your martini, and we'll fix you up a virtual one right here. From the 920, have never had a Manhattan. Oh, there you go, Conrad.
Same here.
This is Kismet.
Yep.
That could be your soulmate, Conrad. I know nothing about, other than the area code. Is that the kind of area code you're attracted to, Conrad? I don't know.
I mean, that's the same as mine.
It's the same as yours. Done and done. We are on a roll here. I've had a Manhattan years ago. I can't really remember 920 what it tastes like, to be honest with you. I know they make them with brandy.
Oh, okay. I thought it was with bourbon all along.
Maybe there's whiskey and brandy like an old fashioned. Yeah. Probably change it up. Bridget from the 818 says, Dirty martini with three olives. That's very specific. I will say those first olives, when you're drinking a nice, cool martini, man, they taste good. Then they get kind of repetitive, and it starts to not taste good. After your third olive, that's pretty good, Bridget. I would say three olives, and they're sort of like soaked with the martini, so you feel the martini when you bite it. Oh, that's good stuff. I might go off the wagon tonight, actually reading about all these cocktails from the 920 again. Hard to find a good daiquiri in town, or should I say someone that knows how to make one? They all think they are only frozen. Well, you just educated me, 920, because I'm not really sure either. I mean, I knew they were frozen, and I think that's how I always picture them being ordered. But, I don't know. I haven't had a daiquiri in ages. I always go margarita.
Yeah.
Instead of daiquiri. You know, if I'm going to go fruity.
You have to have the tequila with it.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's the thing with rum is it's sweet with sweet. So
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. Have you ever had Malibu rum?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty smooth.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much all sugar.
I know. Hey, we have a great guest coming up. We'll keep at these texts. They're rolling in. Please keep them coming. So much fun. Do we have time for our Rob Breckenridge clip? I want to tease his appearance with a little bit of his comedy. Can we do some?
Sure.
All right. Here's some Rob Breckenridge. He's coming up at 7:35. More of your texts coming up soon.
You guys can tell I got the Wisconsin accent, don't you? I know. I use it for birth control. No, it's not a romantic way to talk. It's very nasally. Everything I say sounds like a game show buzzer, right? It's like, thanks. Where's my bag? Where's my... That's the way we say the word bag. B-A-G is big. I thought everyone said it like that. The first time I moved out to Los Angeles, I go, hey, you guys know where my bag is? And they're like, big? It's pronounced bag. I'm like, well, I beg to differ. I showed that guy. But I don't really have the accent that bad. My fishing buddy Todd, you know, he's one of those guys with the big beer gut and his fingers look like bratwursts. You shake his hand, you get hungry. Mmm. All of them are ready to take off the grill. And he always talks like maybe someone kicked him in the throat a long time ago. You know, he's like, yeah, it's out there by the lake, you know? And them walleye are just jumping in the boat. And them are good for pickling. Oh, yeah, your crappie will pickle up nice, too.
That's Rob Breckenridge. We'll delve into the Wisconsin accent coming up next. With Rob, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. So great to have you with me on this Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab.
Okay, so Bridget from the 818 says, kitty cocktail for Kate. That's her daughter. She also says, Grandma Peg likes a brandy Manhattan or scotch and water. Why would you ruin a perfectly good scotch, Grandma Peg, by adding water to it?
Because it's probably a blend.
Right. Well, if it's a blend, go for it. Yeah.
Sure. If it's single malt.
Exactly.
My grandpa would be rolling in his grave in Scotland.
Well, this is, are you Scottish?
Oh, yeah, I am. Half nice. Scottish, half Italian.
Oh, that's a good mix. You don't hear that mix a lot.
I know. Every time I wear my kilt, I feel like beating myself up for wearing a dress.
That is the voice of comedian Rob Breckenridge, who joins me here in the studio on Nightlight. It's great to have you here, buddy.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So this is, I love having people on the show, and this has happened only a few times where we knew each other, but not well.
Yeah, we knew of each other.
We knew of each other. We bumped into each other a couple times at an audition or on the road somewhere. But I'm surprised our paths didn't cross more often.
Well, I think if you stayed in stand-up longer, we probably would have ended up working together.
Yeah, probably.
After, I mean, just the law of averages, we would have.
Yeah, for sure.
Like at the Skyline. You were talking about different drink names. They have one at the Skyline called the Lizard on a Mattress.
What the heck is that?
I know. Doesn't that make you thirsty?
Not really.
No. It sounds like a gay sexual position. You know? What do you want to do tonight, Steve? Oh, I was thinking maybe lizard. Ooh, it's not even my birthday. I will go get the Hitler uniform and the trapeze.
Oh, my God. No, what is happening?
You know you don't use a trapeze.
What happens in your house at night? I don't know.
I'm taking care of my 93-year-old mom, so I'm just happy to be out here.
Hey, you told me a couple weeks ago, Rob, when I reached out to you to have you on the show, you were in the Bahamas.
Yes.
With your mom?
Last week, it's a two-week gig. It's called Joker's Wild.
Well, you took your mom with you. Yep. That's
well, for
cool.
5 days. Yeah. I did. I took her with me. I don't know if it was a smart thing to do, but I wanted her to brag to her friends because I can't give her much. I'm a comedian, you know. Her friends are all like, my son Scott bought me a house in Puerto Vallarta. You know, well, that's... Well, and my mom's like, well, my son wrote a new dick joke. And it's not even all that dirty. So,
Conrad, can we say that?
Oh.
No.
Well, he could be talking about a detective.
Yes.
A private detective.
No, yeah. Richard Nixon joke.
Yeah, there we go.
That's my mom likes Richard Nixon jokes.
Fair enough.
What were you thinking?
We just qualified. No, nothing. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, those Richard Nixon jokes, they kill with my mom.
And National Lampoon, they love their Nixon jokes still. So what was that like, carting your mom around the Bahamas?
It she's in very good shape too. So, but everyone was like saying, "Oh, your wife is so wonderful. You know, your wife wants another drink." I go, "That's my mom. She's 30 years older than me." So I didn't feel great about it.
And we dated a little bit 10 years ago, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
We aren't marriage material.
And she got caught in the waves. It was one of these things where my mom goes, "I want to put my feet in the waves, but you know, it's the Bahamas. So that kind of sucks you out." So a wave kind of took her. And I'm like, "Oh, man, this is," and I ran in there and I got her out and I'm trying to lift her, but I can't. So now these guys, five guys run in, they think I'm drowning. So they're grabbing me and I'm grabbing my mom. I'm like, "Hey, cut it out. I'm trying to save my mom."
She really was in trouble in the water?
I guess. I mean, 93. I was keeping her head above. I was holding her like I was the Pietà. She was Jesus and I was Mary.
I would have gone Hasselhoff with that reference. You went biblical.
I did. I should remember where I am.
So that's pretty cool. That's good for you for taking your mom with you. That's nice.
And it was fun. She enjoyed it, and
How are the crowds in the Bahamas?
Terrible. It's like a cruise ship.
Okay.
Because people are there on vacation. They go, "Oh, look, a comedy club." Then they go in there and and they're all really rich people. I don't know. I hate performing for rich people, and they all like have boats and stuff, and they're like, "See how funny you can be." Right. But it was a 2-week gig too, which is a long time. You have got to lay out on the beach every day, go snorkeling.
You know, I heard this story. I've never done cruise ships, like you said. I kind of stopped doing stand up in the late 90s for the most part. But I know a lot of friends as they get older, they do cruise ships or resorts and that kind of stuff. And one of our friends, a guy I didn't know that well, but. His act went over so poorly on a cruise ship, the people that ran the cruise didn't even want the people on the ship to see him again. They chartered a helicopter to fly to the ship and take him off the ship. That is bombing like I've never even heard of before.
Well, I have heard that story. And as he was being airlifted off, Gallagher 2 was being airlifted on. See, only you and I would
laugh. That's a winner. They had to pay a little extra. That's very fun. Do you do cruise ships?
I haven't done one for many years now, but I did them for a while. I was like four different lines. Holland America is the best. You only do one show per week. And you're out. Yeah. And you're like, they put you on for 4 weeks. So you only do four shows and then you get like 10 grand in your bank account.
Oh my gosh.
It's the best. But then the worst is Carnival. Because you have to do 13 shows during the week, and you have to do a day show for the kids, and then a night show for the drunk parents. And I don't know who's worse, you know, the kids or the drunk parents.
How many comics end up just jumping off the ship? That would be horrible.
Chip Chinnery told me the funniest story. Chip. Yeah, I love Chip, and I think he's so funny, but his act doesn't go on cruise ships.
Like, right.
Mine doesn't really.
I don't think he's funny at all. I just like him personally.
Yeah, I like him personally.
He's been on the show.
That's how you know a comic's bad. You know, they go, how is that guy? Oh, he's a nice guy. Real nice guy. Right. They never mentioned a. But he was, Chip Chinnery's on this cruise ship, and he bombed. It was his first show, and he just bombed terribly. And he didn't want to even walk out the crowd. So he went to the rail of the ship, you know, and walking on the deck, and they were having a really bad time with the waves coming up. But it was worth it to him to risk his life so he didn't have to walk in front of the people.
Oh my God. I got to ask him about that. That's very funny.
I used to see him at auditions all the time too.
Oh, he works a lot.
I know.
He nails a lot of those. It's funny because I think like, when it comes to cruise ships, I've heard some places or some cruises, and maybe this is Carnival, you have to do three shows a night.
Yeah, that's
for those type of crowds you're talking about. They just kind of wander in. They're not necessarily there paying money to see comedy. it's like a side thing that the ship offers, right? Yep. So it's, you know.
Yeah, it's one of, it's like you get, you can have the death by chocolate or the, you know, comedy or whatever, you know. It's,
right.
It, depending on what deck you're on. And, oh, you know, and they're so, they're, all the people are drinking so much. It's, it, cruise ships are not fun to do. And that's why they pay a lot. And a lot of comedians just go, I don't want to work the road anymore. So the, it's basically putting a comedian out to pasture.
Whoa, man, that's brutal.
I don't have a very good opinion of them.
Yeah. How, all right. So we heard a clip of you mm-hmm. in the last segment before I had you on. My guest, by the way, is Rob Brackenridge. He is a Wisconsin native and a stand-up comic based here in Northeast Wisconsin, which I think is really cool. But you talked about the accent.
Yeah.
And you and I talked a little bit during the break about accents. How does your accent, your Wisconsin accent, go over in the Bahamas?
It went over, well, not as good as it does like in Vegas, because they are kind of Vegas-y crowds. Yeah. But they weren't as homogenized as a Vegas crowd. They were mostly people from Florida,
yeah.
East Coast. I don't think we'd ever, the whole time I was there, ever got anyone from the West Coast. So,
oh, interesting.
Okay. So it's kind of new to them. And that's, I have to, I don't do it as long. I do a whole set of Wisconsin stuff here. But in the Bahamas, I say, oh, you know, Midwest people, we were the ones with the half red, half white tan. Right. Your arms look like those imitation seafood sticks. You know, you do all that local stuff, and that brings them right in.
Right. How does your accent, when you do the accent stuff, and I don't know where you were, we played a set from yours. We just pulled it off YouTube. I don't know yeah. where you were performing, but, or it might've been your dry bar special.
Was it dry bar? Yeah. Cause so, I was at the Meyer Theater here and we taped a special. And so they use the clips from that and from the dry bar special.
So how does the accent stuff go over here at home?
It goes over great okay. when I'm live, but it's like when I put it out on TikTok, you know, I did this Erno, we always say Erno after yeah. every sentence, and that one got 700,000 views. It went viral, you know, it was pretty cool. And then, but most of the comments are like, we don't talk like that. You know, you can almost hear their voice. I don't, right. I don't even know anyone that talks.
Crazy.
Do we yeah. talk like that or no? I don't think we do.
You know what's funny? I hear myself, well, every once in a while, I'll say Erno after I ask a question. And I'm like mad at myself.
I
just ask the question. You don't have to say no.
I know, but it's ingrained in us, you know?
Yeah.
It's like real quick once, or do you say once? Sometimes I say once, you know, oh,
yeah.
Do that, hey, come here real quick once. Right. Why am I talking like that? Because my fishing buddies talk like that.
Right. I was at Starbucks several weeks ago and I ordered something and the guy, this is in the Marinette area, he says, we'll see you up here at the window for 10:72 today. Like, wait, what? There's a lot to unpack in that sense.
It's like,
you know?
Yeah, throw the cow over the fence some hay there once. It's like, but it's with German, kind of like, you know, the Germans always put the verb at the end. So
yeah.
it's kind of like what they would do if they just directly, because they always say, oder nicht, kommst du hier oder nicht? You know, that means no. That's German for Erno.
So here's the situation I'm in. I lived the first part of my childhood in Chicago, grew up right in the city, moved to the Marinette area when I was like 12 years old. And then I went back to college and I was a cheesehead. Mm-hmm. Then I come back here and hang out and I'm a fib. And then, so I'm a man without a home. Like I take teasing no matter where I go.
Right.
The accent in Chicago is thick too. It's a little different, but it's still that Midwestern.
Yeah.
I remember I was on a movie set once and my sister-in-law was visiting and her name is Anne. And my producing partner on the film was from California and she introduced herself. She said, I'm Ian.
Ian.
He thought she was saying Ian.
Ian. Ian.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name? Ian?
Yeah.
I go, no, Anne. He goes, oh, I thought she said Ian.
We elongate like bought. We
bought.
You know,
yeah.
Every letter is sacred to Wisconsin. Most people say boat. You know, where's the A? It's
right.
Bought.
But both, I think both accents, like if you have Chicago or Wisconsin, when you leave the Midwest, you're going to hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
And people
are, they always say, are you from Chicago? Everywhere.
To you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
They always say that. No one knows where Wisconsin, I can know Wisconsin. They're, oh, I guess by Chicago.
Yeah. But I like when I meet people with the Michigan accent, they still have a Midwestern thing too, but it's like, and maybe I saw this on TV, but the way they say Bob, hey, Bab.
Bab, yeah.
It's like the
I thought that was the Chicago accent. Hey, Bab.
Hey, Bab.
Gonna go get a cheeseburger, Bab.
Yeah,
I know, see, I can't do that accent, though.
Give me my hat. Where's my hat? Who took my
Pardo,
hat?
Pardo does it really good.
Oh, does he? Yeah. we're talking about. Jimmy Pardo, a mutual friend of ours. Rob Brackenridge is my guest. How cool was that? You did. You said you did a special at the Meyer Theater right down the street here.
That was
what was
wonderful.
That like?
That was great. It was
great theater.
It's called Stand Up Journeyman, and it's four of us. We have Mike Merrifield, who's actually from Appleton as
I've heard. Right. Okay.
Very funny guy, and Johnny Beaner.
Johnny's been on the show. I've never met Johnny before I started doing the show, and somebody referred him. He's very funny.
Yes.
Very good guy, too. And funny and a nice guy. What do you know?
I know.
How's that?
You can't use the nice guy with him. You just get, he's an asshole. Oh.
Okay. Sorry. We have to remind people often that this isn't a podcast, that we are live on the radio, but you caught it. You caught it.
I'm not very smart.
So who else? So it's you, Johnny Beaner. Mike Merrifield, and who else was
there? Mike Stanley.
Oh, Mike Stanley.
Okay. Yep, and that was the four that made the cut.
Oh, nice.
And, it's available now, Stand Up Journeyman.
Just and where can people find it? Just
YouTube.
On YouTube?
Yep, anywhere.
I've heard of it. Okay.
You have heard of YouTube?
I've heard of YouTube.
I've
got the YouTube. You don't have to pay for YouTube.
No,
that's what I like.
You put the U in YouTube.
YouTube.
Hey, do you have a favorite cocktail, Rob?
Yeah, well, it's Lizard on a Mattress.
Oh, that's right. We already covered that.
So. Yeah, but no, I do. I like vodka soda because it doesn't have a whole lot of. But I'm more of a.
We're good.
Yeah, I'm more of a THC kind of guy. That was from living in.
What's that? THC.
Well, it's this thing that grows out of the ground and it's all natural, and people don't want you to do it in Wisconsin.
Oh. Rob, we're talking about cocktails.
Cocktail. Well, that's a type of cocktail. They have it in water form now.
All right. We've got Rob Brackenridge. He is in the studio. Homegrown Wisconsin comedic talent right here. More coming up with Rob on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Back at Nightlight, a Monday edition, talking comedy and cocktails tonight. Rob Brackenridge is in the studio with me here. He is a Appleton-based stand-up comic. Brian Kelly will be along in the second hour. He is a bartender and an actor. Not in that order. Brian knows more about cocktails than the rest of us combined, so we'll talk World Cocktail Day with Brian. So Rob, how did you get your start doing stand-up? Everybody who does stand-up has that moment in their life where they're like, first you realize, okay, I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
Second, you realize, could this translate to the stage? What was the moment where you realized you could be a comedian?
I think it was, I was in an improv troupe in Minneapolis. I was a theater major at Lawrence University.
Oh, okay.
When I graduated, I went to Minneapolis. That was my decompression city. You know, I didn't want to move straight to, you know, New York or L.A. So I just wanted to get in a place bigger than Appleton. And so I was with an improv troupe, and we started working with stand-ups. So there were three of us splitting our money, and the stand-ups were getting all the money. And it was like Tom Arnold. It was one guy that we worked with, and he was not good. I mean, he married very well.
That helped his career for sure.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy.
I've heard that too.
Right.
In every sense of the word, yeah.
He is a really nice guy. He just came through the Skyline and I opened for him. But he gave me the impetus to do stand-up because I knew I could be funnier than him, and he was working all over the place.
Yeah, and before he met Roseanne.
Yeah, it was before he met Roseanne. And he was dating one of the girls in my troupe. So
okay.
He got us all the illegal stuff that we needed. No, you can't throw Tom under the bus.
Yeah.
He's already under.
He's pretty big guy. It'd be tough. Yeah. I've never met him. Minneapolis is one of those cities. And being based in Chicago where there were all these clubs, you could work there the whole year and never leave.
I know.
And so many great comedians have come out of there that did well. John Rigi, Bob Odenkirk. Odenkirk is now, but Minneapolis had like Roseanne and they had these
Jeff Cesario,
another Wisconsin guy who went to Minneapolis.
Maria Bamford.
Yeah. Oh, is she from Wisconsin?
She's from Minnesota.
Okay.
Mary Mack, Tim Harmston. Actually Maria's, of course.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Boston where they look out for each other. It seemed like, I know that like Mystery Science Theater was from Minneapolis.
Joel Hodgson. He was the first guy I took a class from him. Joel Hodgson.
No kidding.
He taught a comedy class, and that was the first and only class I took. But he was asking questions like, why do you deserve to be on stage? Why do you think your thoughts should be heard by all these people?
Oh, no kidding.
And that's something that I never really thought about, but it put it into perspective, because you have a responsibility when you're on stage.
For sure.
And these people paid. You can't just be, well, they didn't get me, you know?
Right. Make them laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got
to
find a way.
It's up to you to figure it out. Yeah, exactly. My first gig I ever did was probably in the fall of 89. It was in a suburb north of Chicago. And the two comics I worked with were Minneapolis guys, Joe Keyes and Frank Conniff. And they were both really nice to me. They probably knew it was like my first paid gig. I probably made $50.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, call Tom Hansen, have him put you on the Rambo tour, is what they called it.
It was Grand Forks, yeah.
Yeah, the Devil's Lake, Grand Forks. And that was my first road gig, thanks to those guys. And I ran into Conniff years later in L.A., and he was writing for Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I think. But, boy, he's had a career, huh?
Yeah.
Like some of these, yeah.
Rambo Tour was the first tour I ever did, too.
Really?
With Susan Norfleet and some of the, I mean, all those names are kind of going off into the distance. But, yeah, that was a fun gig. It was the Westward Ho.
Yeah.
It was built in the 70s, so they never cleaned the carpet, so it was all smelly and stuff.
Right.
And it had a theme. It was like wagon wheels everywhere and stuff.
It was definitely, you know, it had a feel of like a 70s casino. You're right, that hadn't been cleaned. And I worked there with, it was a fun place to work. Like, you know, they took okay care of you, but I remember I was headlining probably in 95, and my middle act, the guy opening for me, Mitch Hedberg, and I'm like, you know, I didn't know who he was at the time. And he's begging the Chris was the owner.
Chris.
He's like, come on, man, you got to headline me. Let me headline. Well, like 3 weeks later, Mitch was on Letterman and then he didn't have to be the middle act anymore.
And he kept going to the Westward Ho too all the time.
Oh, did he really?
Yep. He loved that place. He loved Chris, you know.
Okay.
It was his
favorite. We had a good time. Place. I really enjoyed him. I didn't know about any of the trouble he had later, but I really enjoyed that. That was a fun club to work. So, and the other thing about the Rambo tour I remember, Rob, is I pulled into the parking lot in Devil's Lake, which there was a Wednesday night Devil's Lake, and then you did the weekend in Grand Forks. Every car in the lot at the bar in Devil's Lake was a pickup truck. There were no women. Waitress came over to talk to me and the other comic just to take our drink orders, and we got dirty looks from everybody else in the bar. Like,
those are our breeding women.
It was like, are we going to make it out of here? Okay, but it was actually a lot of fun.
I know. And I still do those. Last winter, I did Devil's Lake again. There's a casino there now. So.
So why did you come back to, when you left L.A., you said you were there for 23 years.
Yeah.
You came back to Appleton as opposed to Minneapolis. Why is that?
My mom. She had eye surgery and hip surgery, and she didn't even need the hip surgery, but she had a coupon. So
sweet.
It was 2 days.
Did you do it, or did you take her to like a clinic?
We took her to the clinic. Okay. I messed up my last one, so I didn't.
Damn malpractice.
I did it on myself. But I love my mom, and I promised my dad I'd never, you know, leave her alone.
Yeah.
So. And,
oh,
and
that's nice.
It gives me something to do too.
So is it? What did you do for Mother's Day?
I already
took her to the Bahamas.
I cashed in my chips the week before, so I just said nope. The Bahamas.
Just that's made three her some hot dogs.
Yeah, three next Mother's Days. If she lives, I don't have to do a thing. No, 93 though. They grow old so fast these days.
Yeah,
it seems like just yesterday she was in Depends. Actually, she was. No, I'm doing bits
in the Bahamas in Depends. Okay,
yeah. No, she's not. She's not.
So is it hard to do where you live now in Appleton? It's not the most central location. It's fine for the Midwest, but is it hard to get places?
I am tired of getting on airplanes. So I'm only doing gigs that I can drive to. Nowadays.
Nice.
And there's not, I'd say plenty in the last, since the pandemic's over, I have, you know, knock on wood, I've had lots of work almost every week. I'm working.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah. And now I got time off. I'm going to Germany and Italy and just not doing any stand-up for a while.
Conrad's around. You need someone to look after your mom?
You want to come by? Actually, mom's coming with me.
Babysitting side hustle. Oh, really?
She's coming with me to Germany and Italy. We're from Italy, so we're going to visit all of our relatives. We still have relatives over there.
All right. Rob Brackenridge is hanging with me here on a Monday night edition of Nightlight. We've got more with Rob coming up next. Brian Kelly stops by to discuss all things world cocktails later in the second hour. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.